1.
Hello and welcome to Patricia King Live, the prophets speak on sex, booze, and popcorn. My name's Robert Hotchkin, and I'm here with, of course, Patricia King, mm-hmm. our live studio audience. And all of you who have joined us online, thank you for being with us. There's more than 2,000 of you all around the world with us online, and we are in for a very interesting discussion over the next 90 minutes as we discuss sex and sexuality, alcohol and legalized drugs, and television, movies, and entertainment, looking at what society is saying is allowable and acceptable in this hour versus what God and His Word is saying is allowable and acceptable in this hour. So, Patricia, how are you doing tonight?
Great topic. I mean, every Christian loves to be bold about talking about sex.
You hear it from every pulpit.
But anyways, we need to be a voice.
We do.
Because in a world that is plagued with darkness and all different kinds of darkness, we, the people of God, need to be a voice
right.
in this hour for Him and for His purposes, for His ways. Because the Word says that if we lose our saltiness, there is nothing to preserve the world. And so it's the Word as it's spoken, the truth as it's exalted, that will preserve the world that we live in. And I believe it's very important in this particular hour that we align, you know, to the Word of God, at least proclaim it so that there is a plumb line
yes.
in the earth today, so that coming generations will have the fruit of that.
That's right.
If we do nothing and just let everything go as it is, you know, progressing quite quickly into actually some pretty heavy perversions, which
yes.
we'll talk about
yes.
Later. But if we continue to allow this without having a voice, I am concerned that our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will come to us and say, where were you at
yes.
during that day? Why did you allow it? Why did you not
That's
do
right.
anything? Why did you not raise your voice? Because we are suffering the consequence of everything right now, and you guys didn't do anything about it. And so what do we do at such a time as this? What do we say at such a time as this? Because on the subject of sexuality, I mean, God is the one who created us as sexual beings.
That's right.
He made male, He made female.
And He created the sex act.
The sex act and the sexual organs.
He could have had us reproduce in any way imaginable. And He's got the imagination of all imaginations.
Right.
He decided to make it that way between man and woman. He designed the organs the way He designed them to fit together. And He put the nerve endings where He put them so that it would be pleasurable.
Yes.
But His design is for it to be pleasurable within the context, the bounds, and the safety of marriage under His covering.
And it says very clearly in the New Testament that the marriage is a picture of Christ's relationship
That's right.
with His church. So it's very spiritual and very profound, and it's very holy. And so within the context of marriage, God has made this act of intimacy available to us that is the deepest part of intimacy ever. You know, we are spirit, soul, and body. But it says that with the sexual act, you actually are one in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That is scriptural. You're one in spirit. When you have sex with someone, you become one in spirit
right.
with them. And so the potential of that, especially in Christian married couples, is phenomenal
yes.
because you have the power to create with God. I mean, He put so much inside of us, so much wisdom inside of us, so much holiness inside of us that it cannot be treated as a light thing. It's too powerful. And He wanted even children to be created
That's right.
in the atmosphere of this explosive love experience,
mm-hmm.
the deepest that a couple can experience together. That's how He wanted children to be conceived, is in that beautiful essence where a man and a woman's soul is engaged together in love for each other. Their bodies are engaged, their spirits are engaged. And then in that there is a conception of a life that is in that glorious atmosphere of heaven.
That's amazing
so
when you
thing.
Think about it. It really is a beautiful thing. The way He designed it, His intention, and what He has for us within it when we do it according to His will and His way.
And I believe that as God's people, we need to go after Him. We need to go after Him and after His ways. And yet, we see so much confusion in the day and the hour that we are living in. I remember growing up, Robert, you know, when I was a young girl in my early teens, we had an expectation. I mean, we definitely had teaching from our parents and some at school on, you know, sex acts and
mm-hmm.
marriage and things like that. But it was the expectation that a girl would save herself for her husband and vice versa.
And vice versa.
It was the expectation. In fact, when we would hear about someone who was engaged sexually, unfortunately, there was even names that, mm-hmm. that weren't nice attached to someone that had been given over to those things. It wasn't nice, mm-mm. but it was looked down on. It wasn't anything that you embrace. And until later in the 60s with the whole sexual revolution, things changed then, but not for everyone, because I was, you know, I graduated in the 60s from high school, and it was still the cultural norm to save yourself. It was changing with the sexual revolution, but it was still there. And that's not that long ago.
No, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and it wasn't that dissimilar. It was changing, but it was still shocking when, especially at a younger age, in high school or even right out of high school, when you heard about people that were doing that a lot, it was shocking to society. And even the voice of the world and the voice of society, when I was a young man, you heard that you kept yourself pure, that you saved that for mm-hmm. marriage. And unfortunately, that has really changed in the last few years.
I've talked to some young girls that have said the pressure is so great in school that if you have not gone to bed with someone by the time you're 14 or 15, you're kind of like a real nerd and actually looked down mm-hmm. on. And so in the school system, in the college system, virginity is not celebrated. It's actually looked down upon. Now, what caused that? I think a lot of it is media.
Right, of course.
You know, media has painted a picture saying, no, just go out and give yourself to whoever. And of course, in the 60s, it's, you know, basically, if it feels good, do it.
And there was the whole free love movement. Just give yourself over to as many, whenever, wherever you want, because, it's all about you.
Yeah, it's all about us. And a narcissistic society emerged at that time. Mm-hmm. We are reaping the consequences of our choices back then. We're seeing marriage failures like never before, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, more incest than ever. We've got third gender issues, pedophilia. In fact, you were telling me about the website.
Yeah, I did some research, and I was actually shocked, because looking at how things have shifted from when I was young, you were young, and the stigma was on people who were engaging in sex. And now, as you said, it's completely flipped. The stigma is now on people who aren't engaging in sex. And we have sexual promiscuity running rampant. We have groups like this group, NAMBLA, I found out about, that's been around for decades. And get this, its name stands for North American Man-Boy Love Association. Mm-hmm. And what they are doing is they are actively promoting an agenda to make the legal age of consent, to lower the legal age of consent, so it will be allowed for men to have sex with boys, saying that children can make a choice about this, so the age of consent needs to be lowered, and there'll be no longer will men having sex with boys be considered a crime or sexual abuse.
I know they are promoting it as something that the boys want with a man.
That's right.
And so there's a twisting of it, but as soon as we let the bar down on any area, you're going to get an onslaught of other things. It's not just going to stay there. As soon as you let the bar down, it's not going to stay there. It'll go on to the next. Because I remember not only was adultery and fornication looked down on in my generation, because our desire was to be sexually pure. And I wasn't a Christian.
Right, neither was I.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But it was just the norm in my nation of Canada. It was the norm.
And here
then.
In the States, there was a societal norm that was looked down upon.
Right, and homosexuality, it was was a real problem. In fact, it was very much against the law. You know, sodomy was against the law. In fact, I think it actually still is on the books, although it's changing. Mm-hmm. It was like if you heard that someone was involved homosexually, it was such a shock to your system because it was foreign substance.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make it clear, because we're going to go into this a little bit more later, but I mean, we love homosexuals and adulterers. I love fornicators. I love even pedophiles. I'm invited by God to love them as he loves them.
That's right, and we're called to love
them all. But we cannot agree with these things that God is in clear disagreement with within the scriptures.
No.
And even right now, the third gender issue is on the table, because as the gay marriage thing came through and acceptance of homosexuality, now the third gender community is rising up and saying, well, we want laws changed too, because I was born a man, but I want to be a woman. So I've had sex change operations. I've had hormones. So I want everything changed legally for me. And I want to be able to to marry according to my desires. And it's confusion.
It's
absolute confusion. People don't know, like, who am I? What am I? How do I relate sexually? In fact, in the school system today, a lot of the promotion is for bisexuality. Like, anything goes. Have sex with an animal.
That's
have sex
right.
with a man. Have sex with a woman.
Encouraged.
Experiment. And, of course, we're going to talk about this later, about movies.
Right.
Some of the movies that are promoting
harmful
sexual
behavior.
Experience today is like promoting violent
yes.
sex, even within marriage.
That's
and that's
right.
being bought into.
That's right.
So how should we then live as Christians in this hour? And what should our voice be? How should we express this? So I want to read, first of all, a definition of fornication. This is out of the King James Version. Now, in the New American Standard, it's actually translated immorality. So that word immoral, when we talk about immorality in the scriptures, it's the same word in the Greek as fornication
okay.
is in the King James. But it actually encompasses it all. It means illicit sexual intercourse. Anything that is, like we could call violent sex or
right.
whatever, inside of marriage
right.
even, would be called illicit sexual intercourse. Adultery is mentioned. This is out of the Strong's
right.
Greek Concordance, what the Bible actually meant when it said flee immorality
yes.
or flee fornication. This is what it meant. Illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, sex outside of marriage, which is fornication,
yep.
homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, incest, etc.
Oh.
And so that is what it actually means. Now, when we look at the scriptures, some of the scriptures, I just pulled out some of them
mm-hmm.
for tonight's meeting. It says 1 Corinthians 6:18 in the New American Standard, it says, flee immorality. Flee it.
That's very clear.
It's clear.
That's very clear.
It doesn't say jump into it and find
no.
an excuse.
It doesn't say experiment with it.
It says flee
That's right.
it, okay? Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Galatians 5:19 in the NASB says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. So it goes on to say in that, in the context of that scripture, that anyone who is in the flesh doesn't inherit the kingdom of
That's
God.
That's right.
And so this is something that, you know, we need to have the fear of the Lord. We just can't say, oh, well, it's okay. You know, I'm an immoral person. I commit adultery,
That's
fornication.
Right.
I masturbate. I'm involved in pornography. I'm involved in all this stuff.
But God loves me.
But God's fine
so it's
with
okay.
it. But
yeah.
it says, actually, that the deeds of the flesh, if we pursue the deeds of the flesh and embrace them and take ownership of them, that it says we won't inherit the kingdom.
That's right.
And now if God's word says that, we either believe what he says
That's
or
right.
we deny what he says. And that kind of puts us in a position with him that we have to stand before for all eternity. Now it says also in Ephesians 5:3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named amongst you.
Mm.
Not even be named. Not even been talked about.
Mm.
And yet we hear even little children today,
That's right.
because of what's on TV, are aware of sexual promiscuity and are being taught in their schools
That's right.
concerning alternative life school.
Yes.
Little children
yes.
in elementary school.
Yes. There's even a move right now that I heard about recently that about when it comes to gender identification, that there are people promoting that gender not be assigned at birth. So
right.
the little boys or girls, as they grow up, then they can decide if they're boy or girl. Not based on their sex organs, but based on
right.
what they feel. So that's how far this is going.
Right. And I've heard that there's one nation in Europe who actually practices that.
Is that right?
Yes, I've heard that. I would need to have that verified.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay, so Colossians 3:5 says, this is powerful. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Remember all those things that are in the definition
That's
of
right.
immorality. We are to consider the members of our earthly body dead to those things. Dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And then it says, which amounts to idolatry.
Wow. So it's very clear that God's saying, if those desires are at work in you, you don't give in to them. You don't encourage them. You don't experiment with them. But just the opposite. You render yourself dead in him to those things.
And another key here that I think is a mind blower, really, is it says it amounts to idolatry.
Yes.
Now, in Israel's history, you have Jezebel, who
right.
married Baal, or married Ahab,
yep.
and they promoted the worship of Baal and Asherah,
mm-hmm.
which were sexual deities.
That's right.
The whole nation went astray because the leaders compromised.
That's right. And they gave in to their impure desires as it was promoted in society, and it was unto idolatry. And to your point, you said earlier that it leads to this thing, to this thing, to this thing. Those deities also, I believe Baal, also encouraged child sacrifice.
That's
so
right.
As we in our society begin to embrace these things, encourage these things, where does it go? Does it end up with us putting our children on the altars? We're already doing that through abortion,
mm-hmm.
but what about even beyond that? What's going to come
like
next?
Sex trafficking
is a great example
well.
Of putting our children on
and
the altars.
And the whole thing of pornography and internet pornography, where people are not restraining their lesser desires.
That's right.
They're saying, oh, well, you know, it's my issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll just go
doesn't
on
doesn't harm anybody. I'm just looking at pictures online.
More. But if there was no market for children being trafficked.
That's right.
Or any kind of sex trade work, if there was no market for it, it wouldn't be there.
No.
But what's stirring it is pornography that
yep.
people are saying, oh, well, it's just the way it
yep.
is. It's the way men are. It's the way women
yep.
are. They can have a look and stir themselves up and whatever. But it's against what God is saying. So therefore, we've got bigger issues in the land. And this is a worldwide
it is.
Issue
it's
right now.
It's worldwide, inside and outside of the church.
Running rampant. And
mm-hmm.
Christian nations that were established on the Word of God, that were established in faith, are now compromised because of sexual compromise. Now, we're going to see the results of that. It's going to affect every area of society. If you look at what happened in King Ahab's day,
yes,
it was like the whole nation fell from the grace of God. Was confronted by God. There were severe consequences
That's right.
that even affected other generations. I cannot live selfishly.
No.
I cannot feed my own selfish desires, my lustful desires. I need to deal with that because if I do, my children will suffer, my grandchildren will suffer,
That's right.
my great-grandchildren will suffer. In fact, the Word clearly says that the iniquities of this generation are going to be visited down to 3 to 4 other generations.
Yes. Yes.
That's a huge price to pay
it is.
For a little morsel
That's
of
right.
something that will feed the flesh.
And isn't it interesting what called Israel back under righteousness was a righteous voice in the church. Elijah stood up and said, choose this day. If God is God, serve him. If Baal's God, serve him. But you must choose this day. No more wavering. And I believe that's the Lord's word to us in the church right now, is choose this day. No more wavering. For those in the church who have been looking down this alley, looking down that alley, experimenting with these things, God loves those people, but he's also asking for a voice to raise the bar of truth in the body, in the church, in the earth today, so that we cannot be given over to these things and go down
exactly.
the wrong road continually, but we will hearken unto the righteous word of the Lord
Amen.
And say, we want to come back to God's way. We trust in his goodness and his love for us, his will, his way, and his word.
And that's called revival.
Exactly.
Right? Is
that
when
is
we
the spirit
come
of
back
revival.
To God's way. It says,
yes.
repent so that you will have times of refreshing.
Yes.
One of the reasons why the nations are in an uproar right now, I know this is going to sound strange to some, but one of the reasons why the nations are in an uproar is because of sexual violation.
That's right.
You know, you think, what? How could that be? It amounts to idolatry. And idolatry puts you in a position where you are not under the blessing of God, but under the chaos of
yes.
the enemy
yes.
and the consequence that comes from that.
That's right.
Now, Robert, let's talk here about the issue of homosexuality.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm picking on that one right at this particular moment, because we could pick any of those
right,
ones that were already
right.
mentioned, just because it is a big social issue
right
now.
It is right a hot-button issue right now.
And there is such pressure, even on the church, to conform
mm-hmm.
To the to come into agreement with the opinions that are out there
right.
concerning, you know, a person, well, you know, I was born this way, or, you know, there's two people in love, they're of the
yeah,
same sex,
okay.
they should be able to
yeah.
to express it. And I hear a lot of times people say, well, you know, what do you want them to do? They were born that way.
Yeah.
Now, I want to address that
right.
first. And then
right.
I know you've got some great things to share on this, too. But, you know, people can be born with homosexual tendencies, because if the iniquities are visited upon the third and the fourth generation, if 3 to 4 generations back there was homosexual sin, then that could be visited then down just like A physical defect can come down through the generation line. So also can sin issues. So also can demonic issues. So it actually could be possible for someone to be born because of
That's
iniquitous
right.
patterns.
Yes.
The other thing is that there can actually be demonic spirits that are passed down through the generations that a person can be born. A baby can actually be born with a spirit. And can I say this? That's another reason why we need to live uprightly. Because how would you feel if your sinful desires and what you gave yourself into hurt your child that you gave birth to or hurt your grandchild because it went down through the generation line? It might have been in secret what mm-hmm. you did, but it's not secret in the next generation because they have to live with it.
That's
they have
right.
to endure the pain of that.
That's
you know?
Right.
So the blood of Jesus can cover it all, and he's extremely merciful. But the other thing we have to consider is sometimes physically people are born with defects. For example, a person might be born with one kidney instead of two.
That's right.
A person might be born missing a finger.
Right.
A person, you know, it's possible. We know that a person is born with defects. And so it could be that even the sexual organs or the hormonal mm-hmm. system could be compromised within the person. I remember when I was nursing years ago, I did my pediatric training in St. Paul's Hospital in Vancouver. At that time, it was a Catholic hospital. And so they did not do sex change or gender change
okay.
surgeries. That was against the hospital policies because of being a Catholic hospital. But while I was there doing my training, a woman had given birth to a child that had both sexual organs in it, male and female.
Wow.
Now that's a hard one.
That is a hard one.
What do you do with that?
As a parent, now, what do you do with that?
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, the doctors were saying, well, you know, there needs to be some kind of decision
sure.
made, like, do you want a boy or a girl? And they did a lot of research on it and stuff like that. But the Catholics at that time said, no, we cannot touch this. They went and had a surgery done somewhere else. But what does God say about something like that? And I don't necessarily have the answers except to say that child is deeply loved.
Yes.
And deeply cherished in the heart of God. But on a sexual level, there are inconsistencies there according to how God originally created man.
Yes.
Okay? So there needs to be tenderness. I think sometimes Christians are so cruel
yes.
and so hard-line
yes.
that there's no compassion,
That's
no
right.
love, there's
That's
rebuke
right.
and flying off, not really understanding the whole picture. But we still have to know in the midst of this, what is God's word?
Absolutely.
What does man say? What does God say? So you might have some things
yeah, you
on
know,
that.
I think that we see a great illustration of this in Revelation when we see Jesus, and there's a two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. And it's such a great illustration of what we, the church, have to walk in. We have to wield a two-edged sword. And the two edges of that sword, they are truth and love. Standing on the truth of God's word, but also standing in the character and nature of who God is and what God's like. And one of the places I think, Patricia, that we failed in the church is we tend to wield one edge or the other. You know, we'll wield the truth edge so strongly and we won't budge off the word of God, which is good. We stand on his truth that say homosexuality is a sin, adultery is a sin, fornication is a sin. But we bludgeon people with that truth that actually drives them away from God's truth, God's love, God's protection. Or we go to the other extreme and we wield the love edge so much. We connect with the Father's love for the sinner mm-hmm. to such a degree we come into so much compassion that we take it too far and we say, well, God loves you, so this is okay. But if the Word of God says it's not, it's not. And we have to wield both edges. We have to stand on the truth of God's word, making no compromises and excuses for it. But we also have to do that in love. Mm-hmm. We have to give the world the truth of God, but we have to do it in his character and nature. That's what's going to draw people into a salvation Amen. Relationship with him. We've got to tell them the truth, but we've got to do it with love.
Now, I know you and I have both talked about this, is before we became Christians, we both knew people that were in homosexual
yes.
lifestyle.
Yep.
I remember someone, you know, just after I got out of high school, he confided in me and he said, Patricia, I don't know what to do. My attraction mm-hmm. is for men. I don't want it. I really don't want it. He said, but I would do anything to be able to be attracted to women, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And he said, if something doesn't happen soon, I'm just going to have to go with my heart,
yeah.
you know. And, of course, I didn't have tools or understanding at that time. I just could feel his wrestle.
Sure. And how can you not have compassion for that?
Oh, my goodness.
How difficult it is to be in that situation and in the past to be marginalized and to be diminished because of that. God doesn't want to marginalize and diminish these people. He wants to love them and in his love pull them into his truth.
Amen. And if I didn't know the word of God, the counsel I would give even to this day to someone like that, if
yeah.
I didn't know the word, if I wasn't in touch with God's heart, so I'd say, yeah, I really agree with you. Go out and find someone of the same sex and get engaged and, you know.
Live your life, commit to each other, be
yeah,
happy,
you know,
sure.
I would say that. The only thing.
Out of compassion.
Yes. But today I cannot do that. Why? It's because the word is clear.
The word makes it very clear.
The word is clear.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like we have to come to a point of saying, wow, I have so much compassion for you. I'm with you in your struggle. But the word says this. And if you go the word's way,
that's right.
There will be a grace for you. There will be a blessing for you. Even if it's difficult, God will give you the grace to overcome, and there will be a blessing at the end. Now, this often isn't considered, okay?
Right.
But the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8, he said, but I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good. He didn't say just tolerable. He said, it is actually good for them if they remain even as I, which was celibate.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it is actually a good thing to remain that way. But then he said, but if you, you know, can't and, you know, you can't control your passion, then get married
right.
to a man. Or,
right.
you know, or you know, if you're a woman, get married to a man. If you're a man, get married to a woman. But he said, it is actually good. And I don't think we even consider that as an option in this day to live with God as being everything, God
right.
plus nothing equals everything that I need, and take a grace that could be greater than anything you could ever experience within marriage or within a sexual relationship
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with someone.
Yes.
And so I know that I've mentioned that to a few, and they just think it's horrible to even suggest that, but I believe what the Word of God
right.
says, and I have a friend, a really great friend, I just love him so much, and before he came to the Lord, he was in a gay lifestyle because his attraction from when he was young was to the
mm-hmm.
same sex, not the opposite sex. And so, I mean, he just, you know, came to terms with that attraction and entered into it. But when he came to know the Lord and the Lord showed him, I love you and this is my word and I want you to live by my word, he chose to become celibate.
Yes.
Now, he still has attraction to the same sex,
mm-hmm.
but he's made a decision
mm-hmm.
to be celibate before
yeah.
the Lord. And I so admire him, and I'm so proud of him.
Yes.
I can't tell you
mm-hmm.
how proud I am of him for just walking with such uprightness. And his life is so full. He is loaded with friends
mm-hmm.
and beautiful relationships. And I honestly do believe also, though, that God can change
yeah.
our affections.
Yes.
That, you know, there can be a miracle
that's right.
that takes place that changes the affection. I think a lot of times there's father issues
yes.
involved. There's you know, areas in childhood that need to be healed
mm-hmm.
and things like that can happen. But, you know, if you have passion for the same sex, you're still loved.
Absolutely.
But you can actually control the passion. It would
absolutely.
Be like if I grew up with, let's say, a really strong, you know, sexual desires. I can't just go out and say, oh, well, God gave me these sexual
that's
desires.
Right.
I'm just going to go out with a different guy every
yep.
night because
yep.
after all, I got to fulfill it,
yep.
you know. And that's just not what God says. It's not going to be good for your life.
Right.
But if I go God's way, it'll be good.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, in Romans 5:19, it makes it clear. It says that because Jesus obeyed, righteousness was made available to all, which is an amazing thing. But we have to realize that we need to choose righteousness, that we've got to participate with that. And so we want to get you involved in this conversation. You see the chat room there on your screen. I want you guys to jump in on this. Share your thoughts, share your feelings, share your opinions on this. And here's a question to consider. What is going to happen in our society if the church does not raise the standard of truth in this hour? Mm-hmm. What potentially is going to happen down the road? So let us know what you're thinking. Discuss it with each other in the chat room. But one thing I want to remind you, wield both edges of the sword, including the edge of love. Be nice to one another.
Amen. And can I just say a big amen to that, Robert?
Because
honestly, I mean, we have seen some of the most horrific things with nasty comments, nasty remarks, and we just can't go there.
No.
Come on.
No.
We've got to really love one another. And, you know, God, he just loves us all. Whether we're in sin sexually or in any area, he loves us, and he's committed to seeing us free. And I just want to pray right now, actually, for those of you that are struggling. And it's not an easy thing to struggle with any sin. I mean, we could all have our issues, maybe some with eating or gossiping or struggles with pride or whatever it is. But if you're struggling with a sexual issue, it's not an easy thing. Some of you that are watching this, maybe you're addicted to pornography or other sexual addictions, and you're struggling so bad. You're saying, I'll never do this again, but then you end up doing it again. Or you're wrestling with your affections, your heart. You're saying, man, I just feel so drawn to this one. I feel so good when I'm with someone of the same sex, you know, or even like a documentary I watched where men were saying, you know, I was born to have a sexual desire for children. I was just born with this. And they actually believed God gave them that. Maybe you struggle with it. Maybe you've never activated it, but you struggle and you're fighting it. Right now, I want to pray for you. And I pray that you'll have strength and boldness to go God's way, no matter how hard it is, that you will love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And no matter how hard it is for you, you'll say, God, I want to fear you. I want to go your way. And it is good that I remain celibate. It is good that I restrain these desires and confine them and align them to the word of God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now for your grace, for your boldness, for your love, for your kindness, for your power, your dunamis power, your miracle working power to enter the hearts and the minds and the bodies and the souls, the spirits of your people, and make them alive unto you, completely aligned. And if we could all just come before the Lord right now to just receive empowerment to be a voice and to be his heartbeat in this generation. Now, I actually am picking up something in the spirit right now that there's some of you that are watching. You are so ticked off with me right now, ticked off with Robert. You are so mad at this whole discussion because you have your mind aligned to a lie. I'm telling you the truth. I'm making an appeal to you. Would you go the way of truth? It doesn't matter what man says. The spirit of humanism, the 666, it's the greatest demon in these last days. It's not, you know, the terrorism spirit. It's not our greatest enemy. Communism's not our greatest enemy. None of that is. It's humanism, the spirit of humanism that says, I'll do it my way, irregardless of what God says, I'll do it my way. And you cannot twist the scriptures. You cannot do it. Please, I'm making an appeal to you, please come close to the heart of God and embrace his word. There's a generation at stake and coming generations at stake. We need to be salt and light. And Robert, you know, even in Christian leadership especially today, there's many Christian leaders that are saying, oh, well, we're just going to accept everyone and we're going to let them.
That's right.
You know, you can be a sinner and be in the pulpit. You can, you know, have any kind of sexual orientation and be in the midst of sexual sin and come on in and prophesy and pray and all that. We cannot do that. The scripture has detailed instructions on how to live within, you know, within the Lord's perimeters, within church life.
It's our only true plumb line. We were talking earlier today about, I think about Jesus in John 18, where he stood before Pilate, and Jesus said this, I have come to bring truth to the world. One of the main things Christ came to give us is truth, the plumb line of truth. He who is the Word of God, he who is truth himself. And Pilate's response to that was profound but heartbreaking. Pilate said, what is truth? because Pilate had the perspective of the world that truth shifts, mm-hmm. truth changes from generation to generation, from administration to administration, that truth changes. But the truth about truth is that it does not change. The truth of God does not change. And I know many of you have been beaten and bludgeoned with the truth of God, and I am genuinely sorry for that. It grieves me when I get to go out and love on and be an encouragement to homosexuals or adulterers or fornicators or who any sinner, and they look at me and say, "Are you sure you're a Christian?" And I say, "Why?" And they say, "Because you're being nice to me." That breaks my heart. Church, we have to move in love, but we have to stand on the truth, and we have to understand and share with the world that God has not given us these parameters of his truth because he's a buzzkill and a control freak. He's doing Amen. It because he loves us. He's not trying to keep us from something good. He's trying to keep us from harm. And even if the flesh is crying out for it, if God's word says no, it's because he loves us Amen. And wants to protect us.
Amen. In a moment, we're going to allow you to hear a word from Sharon Stone. She's a prophetess, lives in the UK, and has really been used powerfully of the Lord, even to prophesy to government leaders around the world and that, and carries a lot of accurate authority in her prophetic mantle. Just beautiful. And she's got something really precious to share. And at the end of the program, I have also a word from Stacey Campbell that is just amazing. It kind of covers a lot of the areas that we're going to be covering, you know, as far as the heartbeat of God goes. But we also have, for those that are online, we have some links for you that are very interesting, that give you all kinds of statistics and insights, not only into this area of sexuality, but also into the booze, marijuana, movies and things like that. So you can get those after the program. It's on one of the tabs just under your screen. But let's hear from Sharon Stone right now.
Hello, this is Dr. Sharon Stone. And I want to just ask you a question. If you had a friend that came to you and said that they were living a homosexual lifestyle, how would you react? What would you do? What if that was someone that was living a promiscuous heterosexual lifestyle? How would you act toward them? In either situation, we have to use Jesus as our model. Jesus never avoided the sinner, but he embraced them. He did not become any less pure. He didn't become any less holy. He did not compromise who he was, but he was close enough to be able to change their lives. Because anybody that is bound in the captivity of homosexuality, their need is Jesus Christ. They need a deliverer. They need a savior. They need someone that loves them more than anybody has ever loved them before. And can you be a demonstration of that? If you can be a demonstration of that, then you are in a place to start journeying people into areas of freedom. Because I'll tell you what, they're not getting the love that they need in that lifestyle. They're not getting the peace in their soul in that lifestyle. And I want you to know they can't lie enough to themselves that they could be comfortable there forever because they're God made. And so can you be like Jesus in their lives? Embrace them, care about them. Find out how they even feel about it. It doesn't mean that your understanding of them means that you've embraced their lifestyle, but you've embraced them. And so find out, you know, is this an area of your lifestyle you love? Are you resentful that you think that God has made you this way? You know, when you are at ear and you demonstrate the love of God, you are allowing who he is to come right into that life that you're talking to. So if they need a savior, he's there as the savior. If they need a deliverer, he's there as the deliverer. If they need hope, he's there as the hope giver. If they need healing, he's there as the healer. This is a powerful message that the love of God is not something soft and pretty and just accepts things the way they are, but it invades things and in people's lives, and they can no longer be the same.
What wonderful words of wisdom that Dr. Sharon Stone just brought, and I think it represents the heart of God. And just want to invite us all to be true love ambassadors for Jesus Christ, bringing light into the darkness, to bring freedom, not bondage, but more freedom in the world today through his glorious grace. I want to share just a little announcement with some of you about Women on the Front Lines. We have just finished actually our big event that was our world convention in LA at the Angelus Temple. It was just phenomenal. But we are springing up all over the world where we're hosting Women on the Front Line events, and people are just inviting us all the time to come and do these in their region. So coming up, we have Chicago, New Zealand, Australia, India, Ghana, Washington, D.C., Orlando, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona, Texas in the Houston area, and there's some other invitations as well, Kansas City, and many more, okay? So we are just spreading out all over the place. So you can go on www.womenonthefrontlines.com and get the full schedule and get everything that's going on. And we would love to have you out to some of those events, because awesome things are happening there. All right.
You know, you can hear from what we're doing through Women on the Front Lines that we're reaching cities and nations around the world. But we're not only doing it through those events, we're also doing it through our media. We as a ministry are committed to global outreach through media, and we want to invite you to be a part of that. Every TV show we produce, every web clip we produce, even these webinars, each of them have real costs involved with them. But you know what? It is our privilege and our pleasure to serve God and to serve you all by sowing them out into the world to reach the world with the message and the love of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We need your help. So I'm appealing to you tonight for you to sow a seed. Will you help us? Just recently, God gave us a new assignment that we're very excited about for global outreach. We are going to go into the Arab nations with our media. And we're so excited about getting the word of God into the Arab nations. But you know what? There are some costs involved with that. And we know God's going to provide. We need to get translation into all the different Arabic languages, placement, all of that stuff. But God has a way. And I believe that you can be a part of that. Yeah. So I'm appealing to each and every one of you watching tonight to sow a seed. Information's coming up on the screen right now about how you can be a part of global outreach and join us in advancing his kingdom around the world to his glory.
Amen. We want to thank you so much too for your faithful support. And many of you that are watching might want to even become a partner with the ministry with just maybe $30 a month or something. It's amazing that if a whole lot of people give a little bit every month, that we can do great things in the Lord and can cover a lot of ground with the gospel. But, you know, a lot of times with the internet world, especially because we provide, you know, this particular webcast and many others for free to the viewer, that they're not actually free to produce. And so when you're on the other side of the screen, you might think, oh, well, it's just the internet. I'll just watch it and enjoy it, but then not contribute. So we're asking you to be part of the media army and contribute so that you can help get this out to the masses. Your seed, your precious seed, tonight will help us continue to reach the nations of the world. Amen.
All right, Patricia, let's get into our second segment. Let's talk about booze. Now, alcohol consumption is running rampant in our society and societies around the world. Sorry, everybody, we got a phone call in the studio, and it's probably important, so they're going outside to get it. But okay, so we've got a situation where alcohol consumption is running rampant around the world. Drugs like marijuana have been legalized for medicinal and recreational use. So this is an issue that not only the world is facing, but the church is facing. What's allowable? What's okay? If the world says it's okay to be drinking alcohol and smoking marijuana, is it okay for the church? Or are we setting ourselves or others up for trouble if we do it?
Exactly. I mean, those are a lot of issues that are discussed fairly regularly within the Christian community.
Yes.
I know that everyone's got different convictions on that. I mean, I have a lot of people that I know who are great friends and have different convictions than what I hold, although I do believe mine are right, you know.
of course.
But I do believe that it is an issue that has some confusion in it. One of the things I hear a lot, Robert, is that if you hold a strong conviction, let's say that you feel that it's the will of God to abstain from alcohol,
yes,
and it would be wise for everybody to abstain, then you're looked on as religious sometimes. I hear
that. Or legalistic,
quite,
right.
Yeah, I hear it quite often. Oh, that's just a religious spirit, because mm-hmm. if you're really under grace or whatever, you'll just be free and,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter and, you know, you just live free. And so I, of course, love the grace message. I'm an advocate for it.
We preach the grace message,
I preach it. I live it. I live by it. I love it. But I know that grace is not a license for sin.
No, it's not.
It doesn't give you license to
no.
sin. And so what does sin look like? So when we're talking about this particular subject,
yes.
I want to look at a plumb line scripture
okay.
for this conversation.
All right.
Out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. We're going to put it up on the screen, I think, as well. So it says, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit.
Okay.
A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, these are Jesus' words,
yes.
okay? So Jesus is giving us a clue here. It's about fruit inspection.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's simple in a way that you look at the fruit of something and see if it is it bearing good fruit? Is it drawing you closer to God? Is it aligning you to his purposes and his word? Or is it pulling you away?
Right.
Or are there things about that practice that are damaging and destructive?
Yes.
Because if they are, they need to be looked at.
And we have to say, if there's bad fruit, then it can't be a good tree. So we did a little bit of research. We looked into a few things, and we looked at some of the clinical ramifications of alcohol and drug consumption. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is behavior alteration.
Right.
In other words, as we drink or as we smoke marijuana, our behavior will actually change. Things we wouldn't do if we were sober, we begin to do. Mm-hmm. Things like, say, giving into rages or getting in fights or making poor decisions, like going out and maybe sleeping with somebody outside of marriage. You wouldn't do that unless you were drunk or you were high, and all of a sudden you're not making as good a decision as if you were sober.
Right. And sometimes this affects even families and marriages, those close to you, that if a person drinks within the home and the children
see
these behavior alterations, it brings confusion in that. So, I mean, it's definitely something that we need to look at.
And just the two examples I gave, the result of that, the result of anger and fighting can be serious injury, and the result of sleeping around outside of marriage, we've already talked about, but could also include things like STDs that will follow you around for the rest of your life.
On police reports with a lot of domestic
right.
violence and that, a lot of them have
alcohol and drugs involved.
Alcohol mm-hmm. and drugs involved. Another one is there's tensions arising from consumption of alcohol that are contributing to marriage failure. In fact, alcohol problems
yep.
are amongst the top 12 reasons why people divorce.
Wow.
In one survey that I looked at online.
Okay, another one is distorted perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patricia, there's a reason in Las Vegas that drinks are free as long as you're sitting at the table and gambling.
Right.
They want to get you oiled up so that you start making bad decisions. You start thinking, oh, I'm going to win big on the next hand. Or, okay, I've lost some money, but I'll get it all back on the next one. Where's that ATM machine? And the next thing mm-hmm. you know, you're trying to, you know, cash out your mortgage just so you can
right.
put a little bit more on red, hoping that the big score is going to come in.
And it's a very regular practice in some business executives. But when they take out a client where they want to make a big deal, they'll wine and dine them.
They call it wining and dining.
They say,
that's
I'll
right.
take them out, soften them up a
mm-hmm.
little. In fact, I had someone tell me recently, and this is actually for a Christian leader, saying that their spouse, if they want to get a decision out of their spouse, that they will just, you know, give them a couple glasses
oh
of wine,
gosh.
And then they'll discuss it. And I think, oh, my gosh,
oh.
you know, come on. Well, you know, where are we going with that, okay? Another thing is health issues.
Sure.
I mean, there's lists. You can just go on the internet and see all
yeah.
the lists of damage to a person's health.
Yes.
Like
cirrhosis
severe liver,
of the liver
problems.
Absolutely.
Heart. Even the brain, the way the brain can be deteriorating and damaged, especially with marijuana. These days they've proven, like
yes.
even the IQ going down, which we'll talk about that later. But you know, Robert, a lot of times people will say, yeah, there's alcohol, but people that drink coffee too, that could be addictive. But it doesn't alter behavior, perception, and things like that.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so you know, you have to weigh that up. What is the fruit of it? Like,
yes.
I've never seen a marriage destroyed because of coffee consumption.
Or aspirin.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
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 You know,
yeah.
So... Yay, coffee, by the way.
Yay, coffee. Okay, here's another one, Patricia. This is from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and this is a quote from that organization. More than half of U.S. drivers killed in car accidents had alcohol or drugs in their system at the time of the crash. Now, isn't it interesting? That's not even saying they are legally drunk or stoned. It's
right.
just saying that alcohol and drugs were present.
Yes.
And this isn't just in a fender bender. This is where more than half of U.S. drivers who are killed yeah. in car accidents, alcohol and drugs. And what's really scary about that is what about all the people that that affects who were just driving home? Who? What about the people that that driver hits?
Right.
It's not good fruit.
I know. It is not good fruit. Also, I read in a survey that, and I mean, this makes sense, but sometimes consumption, I want to be careful because I know lots of people that drink very sensibly.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, I've never seen them drunk, never heard that they ever were drunk. I mean, they drink sensibly.
Yes.
But in one of the surveys, it said consumption of alcohol can produce or can progress to alcohol abuse or alcoholism, which is an addiction to the alcohol. So, I mean, when we look at our plumb line of if alcohol consumption is a good tree, then why is it producing bad fruit?
Bad fruit, right, right.
It's just
a very good thing
to
consider
right?
and to ponder. Now, let me ask you something, Patricia. You spoke earlier about how if you are anti-drinking or against drinking in the church, you can be labeled as legalistic or religious. Another thing I'll often hear is people will bring up Jesus in the scriptures
right.
and that he was even labeled a drinker. What do you think about that?
Well, a lot of times people even refer to the story of Jesus turning the water
That's
into
right.
wine.
That's right.
I personally believe and have a very strong conviction on this that Jesus did not drink alcohol.
Okay.
I think he drank wine,
mm-hmm.
but not alcohol.
Explain that.
And I don't believe it was grape juice either.
Okay.
Okay. I actually believe it was Holy Ghost wine.
So you think it was the wine of heaven, not the wine of
the wine of
earth.
Heaven. And I'll tell you why I believe that
okay.
is that, first of all, taking the scripture that many people use, the wedding at Cana of mm-hmm. Galilee, Jesus did his first miracle. The first miracle that he did was turning water to wine.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Amongst drunk people.
Amongst drunk people, because that's what he said, you know, after they drank it,
yeah.
the governor of the feast said, whoa, most people say, you know,
yeah.
We'll serve the
yeah.
best wine in the beginning. Then when everyone's drunk, they'll serve. But you have done it the opposite way. No, he's not going to serve drunk people after all the wine is served in the wedding. He's not going to serve drunk people more wine to get them drunk, because drunkenness in the scripture is a sin.
That's right.
By the way, I just want to say this.
Yeah.
It is not a sin, at least as far as I can see. In scripture, it doesn't say it's a sin to have a glass of wine.
Right. That's right.
You know, it doesn't yeah. say that. But
it says it's a sin to be drunk.
Drunkenness
yes.
is a sin,
yes.
and that is very, very clear. And I want to just say this, just to be a bit vulnerable here, but I was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Before I came to know the Lord. So I know the way alcoholics think.
Mm-hmm.
You're always looking for an excuse to drink. You know, you're just going to learn how to handle it. That's
right.
all you have to do.
Right.
I can drink, but I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just going to know my boundaries, and I won't do that again. But because of alcoholism, the addiction to it, you never do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're always going over the lines. You can you just don't control it. Even if you could do it once, you won't do it the next time. It's just the nature of
yeah.
it all. So a lot of times then, as a alcoholic, you're looking, especially to a spiritual leader, let's say, saying, well, if the spiritual leader's drinking and they're handling it great and they're so anointed
yes.
and they're
yes.
so God-fearing, then I must be able to do it. So Jesus at the wedding, as he's turning water into wine, he's not going to set himself up to be violating his own word.
That's right, of course.
You know, to be making people drunk that are already drunk. And for him, setting the example, well, Jesus,
yeah.
he drinks.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll just join the club of Jesus and, you know, we'll just, you know, we get drunk, he gets us more drunk, you know. That's not going to happen.
No.
So what I believe that he served, because the governor of the feast was so shocked.
Yes.
He could not believe in the quality of the wine. I believe it was Holy Ghost wine. Now, in the outpouring of 1994, we got to experience firsthand drunkenness in the spirit.
Okay.
In fact, a woman on the front lines, I haven't been drunk in the spirits for a long time, but whoa, did I get blasted. Sue Ann prayed for me, and she put her hand, I was not expecting it, and I got so drunk in the spirit that I couldn't even walk. I mean, I was laughing. I love being drunk in the spirit.
Because what's the fruit of that? We examine the fruit of alcohol and drugs. What's the fruit of being drunk in the spirit?
And it's freedom, and there's no hangover, and you're not hurting people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never known a marriage to break up because of that, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, I've never known a car accident because of it even, you know, because it's pure and it's holy.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's why people like to get high.
Because
absolutely. We're created for it.
I believe you're right.
There's no high, though, like the Most High.
We've just settled for the false, perverse version of it as opposed to the Most High with
exactly.
God. Exactly.
Right. And
amen.
So that is my thought. Now, Jesus was accused of being drunk.
Yes, he was.
But he was accused of it, but then so were the disciples.
On the day of Pentecost.
On the day of Pentecost,
yes.
When they were all drunk in the Holy Ghost.
That's
they
right.
were accused.
That's right.
And so it shows a parallel, because Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, in greater works than you do. And he also said, as the Father sent me, so also I send you. So if he was accused of being drunk, and they were accused
that's
of being
right.
drunk, it's consistent.
Yes.
Right? So that's
yes.
my feeling.
And it was not drunk with the
I've,
wine
you
of
know,
the
I've heard preachers get up in the pulpit and actually... you know, I have to pray when this happens, because I have to settle myself a little bit. But I've heard preachers get up and very carelessly say, oh, yeah, Jesus, he loves the wine. And in fact, he loves it so much that he turned the water into wine when they were all out of it. And since that time, the evangelicals are trying to turn it back to water.
Mm.
And it's a big joke. Everyone laughs. But I think this is not funny.
Mm-mm.
This is
no.
not actually funny.
No.
This is something that could actually hurt people.
Yes.
In fact, I could tell you many, many
yes.
stories over
yes.
the years that I've watched, but one tragic one was a young person I knew who had been an alcoholic since 13,
yep.
came to the Lord in their later teens, got delivered from alcoholism, became a worship leader,
yep.
and was doing so well in the Lord. And then after a few years of knowing the Lord, a Christian leader invited him out to an outreach in a bar.
Okay.
Which I think is great. I
okay,
mean,
sure.
I've been in outreaches,
we've done outreaches
and bars,
outreaches
but
bars,
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't drink alcohol
exactly.
in bars, you know.
Yeah.
But I do reach out. We've led many people
mm-hmm.
to the Lord in bars.
Yep.
I think it's a great place,
yep.
but not if you're going to partner
yeah.
with the very thing that's taking them
that's
down.
That's right. That's
but
right.
anyways, this leader said, "Oh, come on, you're just being religious if you don't drink." And
oh.
and he started drinking again, going out on outreaches with this Christian leader, and became an alcoholic again. And to this day, this was like. Probably 20 years ago, to this day, he's down with alcoholism.
Wow. Oh.
And it's a frightening thing. It's a disturbing thing.
Yeah.
And I feel that, especially as Christian leaders, I feel like we need to set the bar high. And again, I want to be careful, because you might be, you know, listening even in this room or watching on the other side of the computer screen right now and saying, hey, come on, lady. I think it's totally fine. And I'm not condemning you for what your conscience feels free in, but I am saying I'm right.
Well,
I just believe I'm right. That's how strong my conviction is, okay? But you have to love me, because you're commanded to love me no matter what.
Well, we talked earlier that God's word is our plumb line in all things. So let's look at some scriptures that have to do
right.
with this issue. Okay. Ephesians 5:18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So this goes to the point you've been making. I think it's very interesting that it says being drunk on the alcohol of the world, there's dissipation, that we are lessened, our gifts are lessened,
right.
our reasoning is lessened. But when we're filled with the Spirit, we're empowered.
Amen.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So here God's very clear that those who abuse alcohol or drugs that are drunkards, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. That'll give you the fear of the Lord.
Exactly. Now, this was an interesting insight I found as I was doing some study. This is from a government website. It says that excessive drinking
okay.
is defined as consuming an average of more than 2 drinks per day for men and more than 1 drink per day for a woman.
Okay.
Now, one serving
yeah, tell me
is
what
defined,
a drink is defined
as 1 ounce of 100 proof liquor. In other words, 1 ounce of hard liquor
okay.
or 1 12-ounce beer or 1 4 ounce table wine.
4 ounces of table wine as a drink. You know, the average wine glass is between 8 and 22 or 24 ounces, yeah. Which so that means the average wine glass contains 2 to 6 drinks of wine, according to this.
Yeah, which is already excessive.
Which is already
according
excessive.
According to government standards.
According to the world standards of the government,
yeah,
that's right.
I found that really
That is interesting.
Interesting. Now, I think the main thing that we need to look at, and I mean, I don't want to get legalistic about,
right.
you know, drinking or non-drinking, or this is how you're holy, you
right.
you don't drink or whatever. I'm not talking about that, but the heart of it mm-hmm. is about being a stumbling block.
Right.
Because if the tree is producing bad fruit,
yes.
and you are living a life that is hosting the bad fruit, then you could be a stumbling block for
That's
someone
right.
else.
That's right.
So we want to live our lives in such a way, like as a leader, especially in the body of Christ. But even if you're not a leader, I mean, you all lead someone.
That's
okay?
right.
You're all leaders of someone.
Yep.
That we need to set an example. I always say to our team, live your life in such a way that if someone was to follow you, no matter where,
yeah.
it could be into your most secret place,
That's
your most
right.
private place. If they were the fly on the wall, that they would see nothing that would cause them to stumble. That if they followed you,
yes.
they would be led to Christ. And that's what Paul
that's
said.
That's what Paul said.
Paul
he
said, you
follow me
as
right.
I follow the Lord.
That's
because
right.
he had the confidence that he wouldn't cause them to stumble,
mm-hmm.
but would lead them into holy living. So that's how we want to live our lives.
Let me read a scripture, Patricia, that supports that point. It's Mark 9, verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. Now that, to use mm-hmm. one of your phrases, is a heavy revy for
is.
A leader mm-hmm. of great responsibility. So even if we think we can handle this, we need to consider as leaders, are we setting someone else to stumble over what we can handle? Because if so, there is potentially a serious penalty.
Exactly. I just feel like saying this too, is that because some could be riled over this. Like,
right.
I know that for me to be in the company of people drinking alcohol, I can be in the midst of the world drinking alcohol. It doesn't bother me because it's kind of appropriate for the world, right? They're in darkness.
That's
it
right.
goes with the darkness.
That's right.
But when I'm in a room where there's all Christians drinking alcohol, I find it actually very difficult.
Mm.
It's very stretching.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you feel the same way. But you have to be very careful. I just feel like saying this is the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And judgment and offense and irritability and that are not part of what love is. And just ask, how would Jesus act right now? What would he do? What would his stand be? How would he feel? What would he say? You know, because I do know that some get very disturbed
right.
and then become judgmental
right.
against people who drink. And that's not the kingdom either. I think that's as bad as being drunk.
Exactly.
Actually.
It is, yeah.
When we
yeah.
get into that anger and that judgmentalism and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, we all have to process those things. I just felt a leading to share that to give a bit of balance. But where I want to go now, Robert,
okay.
is in this whole thing of Romans 1 verse 6 says
yep.
that we are priests and kings.
Right.
So unto God, I am a priest. I'm of a royal priesthood,
that's
it
right.
says. But I am a king for him, a little king.
That's
Jesus
right.
is
He's the, king,
the
of kings.
King of kings, right?
Yeah.
And so we are called to be priests and kings and to walk like priests
yes.
and kings before God, because Jesus is a priest.
Right.
He is the high priest of our confession. He is the king of kings. So Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. So the Bible has things to say in regards to the consumption of alcohol regarding prophets, priests, and kings.
Okay. You're right. Now, in Leviticus 10, verses 8 through 11, this is what it says. The Lord then spoke to Aaron, who, by the way, was the high priest,
right.
saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you. When you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die, it is a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and so as to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean, and so as to teach the sons of Israel. Now, what's interesting is he's saying, if you are a priest, abstain from drinking, abstain from spirits. When you come into the tent of meeting, now this is Old Testament. So Aaron was the high priest. He went into the tent of meeting. But as New Testament priests, as you talked about, we are the tent of meeting. Right. We are always in God's presence. So we need to be aware of that.
Right.
And at the very end, it says, as to teach the sons of Israel, which goes back to the point we've been making about as leaders, what is our responsibility for those whom we lead?
And I found it very interesting that it says this is what makes the distinction between the holy and the profane.
That's right.
And between the unclean and the clean. Anything could have been brought up in this context, but it was about drinking wine and strong drink.
That's right.
And so as priests, if I'm a true priest before the Lord, you know, then I want to live. And Jesus, this is another reason why I believe Jesus did not drink, is because he was the high priest.
Right, right.
You know,
Isaiah 60 says to arise and shine, and as charismatics, we talk about that scripture a lot. But really what it boils down to meaning, especially when you go through verses 1 and 3, is we're to look different. We're to look different from the world. When the world's covered in darkness and deep darkness, we are to arise and shine. We are to appear differently. So if we're going to appear different than the world, if we're going to make a distinction between the clean and the unclean, God is saying this is one of the ways.
Right on.
Okay, here's what it says in the context of us being kings. In Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink, for they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. So very clearly here, God is addressing those of us who are kings. And as you already stated, we are kings. He's the King of Kings. So anybody with authority in the body or who longs to move in authority, the glory of Jesus Christ in the body, it makes it very clear here that we're to abstain from strong drink and drunkenness.
So in the scriptures, we see very clear instruction for the priests and the kings in regards to the consumption of alcohol, any kind of alcohol. You don't find that as clear about the prophets, excepting in John or in Luke 1:15, we see about John the Baptist.
Yes.
And he was a prophet.
Yes. And it says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And Patricia, you said it. This is being spoken about John the Baptist. And all of you out there, you could be thinking, well, that was John the Baptist. He was the great prophet of God. He announced the coming of the Lord. He was held to a higher standard. But consider this. Jesus himself said of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest of them all. But the least in the kingdom is even greater than him. Do you realize there's a call upon your life as great or even greater than that of John the Baptist? And one of the ways you can protect and ensure that calling is to abstain from drunkenness and strong drink.
Okay, now let's move on to marijuana.
Okay, okay. Become legalized for medical and recreational use.
I remember in the 60s, we were arrested and put in jail for even having having a joint, okay? And now it's like it's legalized for medicinal and recreational use. In many states, it's just growing the pressures on. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? Like, you know, in my past, before I became a Christian, I got stoned on marijuana. That was many years ago. It's much stronger now.
Okay.
Many years ago. I mean, we would go to parties, get stoned on marijuana. And your mind goes.
Right.
It actually goes, you know.
Mind goes, and focus goes.
And not just for that time.
Mm-hmm.
Even days after,
you
would get these things coming back on you. I mean, I remember, you know, trying to work and one of those waves would come back and it was like you're stoned all over again. And I'm thinking, are you joking? You want to legalize marijuana and have a whole generation of crazy people walking around without a brain? Are you joking? You know? I mean, I know what it's like even on the lower level.
Right.
What is it like today with a higher level of drugs being used?
Well, we did a little bit of research and we found some clinical studies talking about the negative effects of marijuana.
Yep.
And if you're interested, we have posted under the content links this full article from www.teens.drugabuse.gov.com. So if you want all the information that we found, you can go to the content links and find it. But let me hit some highlights for you about the negative effects of marijuana. Marijuana negatively affects the ability to learn and remember. A recent study followed people from 13 to 18 and found that those who used marijuana in their teens had up to an 8-point drop in their IQ. Coordination is affected by habitual use of marijuana. THC in marijuana affects the cerebellum, the area of our brain mm-hmm. that controls balance and coordination, and the basal ganglia, another part of the brain that helps control movement. Judgment is impacted by marijuana, since THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, affects areas of the frontal cortex involved in decision making. Using it can cause you to do things you might not do when you are not under the influence of drugs, mm-hmm. just like we talked about with alcohol. Decision-making, concentration, and memory can suffer for days yeah. after using marijuana, specifically if you're a regular or habitual user. And then also, the studies have shown that regular use of marijuana can create increased heart rate, respiratory, lung, and breathing problems from the smoke, increased risk for mental health problems, increased risk of problems for unborn babies if you're pregnant, reduced school performance, impaired driving, and it's a potential gateway to other drugs. So as I said, if you want more details about those topics, you want to educate yourself some more, go to the content links and you can learn even more from that article.
And I don't believe that we can just be quiet about this issue. You know, we read the news or watch it, you know, on the television and all the reports about the legalization of marijuana and people promoting it. We can't just say, oh, no, isn't that terrible? We really do need to write our government leaders and say, we do not want this. We need to have our voice heard because all of society is going to hurt for this. Mm. I mean, can you imagine what the workplace is going to be like if everyone's token up during their breaks and stuff? Mm. Oh, my gosh, you know, it's like, I can't even believe this has happened. I was just so shocked that this legalization went through. But through prayer, we can actually stop it. And, you know, people are saying, yeah, but, you know, it's good for medicinal use and that. You know, it's kind of a joke in a way because most of it that was called medicinal use wasn't medicinal use at all. It was just for, like, you know, whatever. It's like with alcohol, it was said, Paul said to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. That was for medicinal use. But it wasn't for, like, just drinking use. Okay, I'm just going to have stomach problems every single day and just go for it. You know, it's like,
that's right.
You know, oh, I need some marijuana because I got a little itch in my forehead. You know, it's just, like, crazy what is going on here. And so I think that we do need to be a voice for this. I'm very concerned about the next generation. There is so much addiction. The amount of drug abuse today, we just had a whole documentary for the Arizona area here. There is so much heroin abuse in that. But most of those people started on marijuana and cigarettes. A lot of addicts are smokers of cigarettes and that. So we need to raise the bar and say, hey, there's a better way to live. There's no high like the Most High. Come on, get to know Jesus. He'll fulfill it all. You know, so that we don't have to go and use these things that are going to just destroy people. Again, you go back to the scripture about the fruit. A good tree. If marijuana really is a good tree, it won't produce bad fruit. But there's so much bad fruit, and so you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a prophet to even figure it
out. Right.
You know, I mean, any, you know. Normal person can figure this out. A child can figure it out. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But anyways, we need to really look at this whole situation. Now, on the chat room, I want to invite you. Again, you've got to be nice, okay? That's the thing. Say nice, nice. I want you to give your convictions on what we've just talked about. I don't want your condemnation or your judgment, but I want your convictions and what you feel about it and what you feel we can do about it to be a voice. And so we want to give you invitation to express your heart on that. Now, I have some announcements just before we go into our final segment on popcorn. Okay. I want to share with you about the Shiloh Web Church and our Shiloh services. We started a congregation here right in our studio that we have some people locally that gather here in the studio and in our overflow rooms and that. And then we have hundreds that are also members of this church that watch by internet every single Sunday. And we have what's called the Shiloh Web Church, which we can give you a whole pastoral care, your own personal pastor. We can give you mentoring and support by joining the web church. So you become part of the Shiloh family, the Shiloh Church family, but you get assigned a pastor. So it just connects you. And there's many Christians today that are not connecting in church.
That's
they
right.
don't attend church anymore.
Right.
They don't know if they can find the right one.
Yep.
But we would love to have
Absolutely.
Them join us online. And we have it Sunday morning. But, you know, if people work, which is one of the problems why people aren't attending church today, we've got it on demand for you afterwards that you can just watch it whenever you want. You know, so we have that available for you. So go on Shiloh.com, www.xpshiloh.com. Sorry about that. Okay, then I want to also invite you to go to our store at xpministries.com. And this week, we want to especially feature all the messages from women on the front lines.
Amazing messages.
Whoa.
Amazing messages.
Awesome. And so we have those available on our store. And we have actually a link for you right on the right of your screen that will take you to the event package on XP Media as well that you can download into your computer and be part of the chat and everything. It's got the MP4 videos and the audios of the whole event, and it's very reasonable for you. Now, again, I want to encourage you that if you're enjoying this webcast, is that to give your gift to God. You know, make a donation for the advancement of his kingdom, for the sake of his glory. And, you know, just sow into the kingdom. We would really appreciate that. And I know that God would honor your giving. The Lord's been showing me that about this replenishing anointing, that it's just been
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Yes.
The more I give out, it just gets replenished back, replenished back, replenished back. It just keeps filling up. And I know that you will find that as you sow in faith and in love, that the Lord will replenish even that which you've given, and eventually it will even come into increase, just like, you know, the loaves and fishes
Amen.
That we
Amen.
See within the scripture.
Okay, Patricia, let's get into our third segment.
Popcorn.
Let's talk popcorn. Let's talk movies, TV, and entertainment. Now, is it okay for us as Christians to be consuming the entertainment of the world that is often filled with violence, sex, nudity, coarse language, or should we just be looking at family-friendly Christian entertainment? What do you think about it, and what does the Word of God say about it?
Well, I want to know what our viewers think about this for sure, because, you know, there's things to weigh up in the presence of the Lord, but ultimately, our plumb line is a pure soul. We
Yes.
want our soul.
Yes.
I mean, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's spirit, soul, and body.
That's
you know,
right.
Love the Lord your God. So we want everything that we do to be in love for him.
Yes.
Okay? And so a lot of it is the way that you process in your own heart. But here's some of the issues that we have to look at within the entertainment media that's out there today
okay.
with television, movies, even video games
yes,
and things
that's
like
right.
that because
that's right.
there's all these different
that's
media
things going
on. That's a
multi-billion-dollar entertainment industry itself.
First of all, there's language, very
mm-hmm.
coarse language.
Very coarse language.
Some are so heavy. In fact, I walked out of a movie not long ago. It was supposed to be a comedy. I heard that it was going to be a good comedy, and I love laughing,
mm-hmm.
so I went in, and I didn't even last 5 minutes in that movie, and all of us looked at each other and said, we're out of
yeah.
here. You know, we just got up and left. It was the most foul language, and it was inappropriate.
Right.
Now, on the other hand, I was at another movie just recently that was portraying a real live situation.
Soldiers, right?
It was soldiers,
yeah.
yeah. And there was a lot of foul language in it as well, but it was appropriate in a way. Not that it was good. I would
right,
rather have
right,
not had it in the
right.
movie. But what I was watching was the world at work.
Is it, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you were experiencing that culture
experience.
In that situation.
And so you have to look at that. Okay, it would be like me going out on the streets to bring my light into the darkness
mm-hmm.
or something, and then finding, whoa, people are swearing and cussing out there. I'm not going to leave the streets. I'm going to bring my light into the darkness, okay? So we have to kind of weigh that one up. Another one is sex. Oh, my gosh.
Everywhere.
Television. Oh,
yeah.
my gosh.
Television, movies, video games,
even
everywhere.
Even television advertisements.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
you walk through a mall today, and the promotions for the stores are pornography.
I know. So we have to look at that. And, like, you can hardly watch a movie today or a television program without a horrible sex scene in it.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows you
mm-hmm.
everything that happens inside of a person's bedroom,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, of course, we have like a new movie out right now, like 50 Shades
right.
of Grey, which
yep.
is actually promoting violence.
Sadomasochism.
Sadomasochism. Yes. It's just inviting people to it, even married couples yes. into it. And what do you do with something like
right.
that? Another one is violence. What mm-hmm. do you do about the violence in movies and television? Are we to subject ourselves and our children to that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the supernatural.
Right.
There's the supernatural elements everywhere you go. There's the superheroes, the supernatural,
yep.
and a lot of, new agey stuff that's out there. Like, what do you do? Are
right.
you supposed to
what's
submit
okay,
yourself
what's not
to
okay,
that?
Yeah.
And then, of course, bottom line is principles.
Mm-hmm.
The violation of kingdom principles and moral principles
absolutely.
Is portrayed in media today.
Yeah.
So what do? Just cut it off, or do we watch it, or how do we watch it?
Yeah.
How do we censor it? What do we do with that?
I think one of the scriptures that helps me in this is we're told to be in the world, but not of it. In other words, we're not meant to go and hide our head in the sand. We're not meant to just surround ourselves with an enclave of safe Christians. We are to be out in the world, impacting the world. And if part of that means consuming some of the entertainment in the world, I really think we have to look at what effect is it having on us. The windows are the eyes of the soul. So as we take these things in, what, again, is the fruit of it? Like, I remember when you and Ron went to see that movie about the soldiers, and you came back, and I said, what'd you guys think? And you told me, and you were honest, you said, there's a lot of rough language in it, but I actually, when I was done, I had incredible compassion for what our soldiers have gone through. And it took you into a place
yeah.
of deep intercession on behalf of mm-hmm. those soldiers. Is coarse language good? No. But you taking in that entertainment bore good fruit. It broke your heart on behalf of what many of our mm-hmm. soldiers come home and are going through. And so I look at that and I think, well, that's bearing good fruit. It didn't impact you in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
It stirred up the kingdom in you on behalf of others. Now, on the other hand, I just saw a promotion for a TV show. I'm not sure what channel it was on, and I don't remember what the title was, and I don't need to because I'll never watch it. But I was shocked by the content. It is a reality TV show about a community somewhere, a neighborhood of swingers. And the whole concept is they're going to watch these married couples where they embrace this lifestyle of swinging and promote this lifestyle of swinging where they're wife swapping and husband swapping. And I was absolutely shocked that this would be on TV and would be getting sent out mm-hmm. there to say,
there's
this
so
is
much
acceptable.
Of that too.
This should be, you should be doing this. Mm-hmm. This is good for your marriage. Those are absolute lies that I don't want being released into culture, and I certainly don't want being released into my life.
Absolutely. Well, when I was seeking the Lord on this, saying, Lord, I could have my opinion, but what is yours?
Right.
How do you
right.
say this? One of the things that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me was, in the scripture, there's some pretty coarse stuff in here.
There is.
There's violence
there
in scripture.
Is.
There's
a lot of
even
sex.
Like, there is details about rape,
mm-hmm.
okay, and homosexuality.
Beheadings.
I mean, yeah, and body parts being cut up and
yep.
passed out throughout the nation.
Yep.
I mean, there's some pretty horrific
yep.
things within the scripture. But at the end of it, in the context, it's always revealing
exactly.
evil and bringing you to a
That's
righteous
right.
conclusion.
It's under redemption. It's to show
always.
The wrongness of the path of darkness under conviction so that you come into light and life.
And that's one of the things that I'm somewhat concerned about with entertainment
right.
media today, is that it seems to be in the enemy's hands, that he is moving it so that he can mold the mindsets through entertainment
mm-hmm.
media, and you get desensitized
right.
to even, I mean, things that maybe years ago that we'd say are absolutely wrong, we're thinking are okay now
yeah.
because media told us they were okay, not
That's
because
right.
the Lord said
That's
they were
right.
okay, but because media said that they were okay. And I've even had Christians say, well, language is just neutral. You could say, you know, the F word, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just a word. It doesn't matter. When the scripture says,
the scripture
let no
says
corrupt communication
exactly.
proceed
no coarse
out
thing.
Of your mouth.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And so, like, we can't just say, oh, well, it's okay because it's in the movies.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
It's just the way. And
or you even hear
not
people
be.
Say it makes you more relatable
mm-hmm.
because culture's saying these things. No, it doesn't. It lowers the bar.
Exactly.
We want to look and sound different from the rest of the world.
Now, we can condemn. I mean, you could easily just put a judgment stick out there on all the secular media that's out there. But if we condemn it, which some of the content, I think, should be condemned
right.
in the spirit.
Right.
But we can't just leave it there. We have to do something about
right.
it.
Right.
And that's where I feel that God is raising up his media army. And for any of you that are called into media, I'm asking you to arise and shine. Let your light shine and don't compromise. Now, there's some tragedies that are happening in
right.
the entertainment field
yes.
with Christians that
yes.
go into it. And we could name the names. I'm not going to.
Nope.
But there's dozens of them that we could name that went in there as pure, solid,
yes.
powerful Christians.
Set apart for the Lord.
And then compromised a little bit here, a little bit here. In fact, one in particular, because I know their family and
wow.
I know the situation, is like it just was one little compromise at a time, at a time, at a time, until that person is not even representing God at all anymore.
Mm.
And it's like we have this opportunity to change it, but there's evil
yes.
that is being propagated through television, through media, that we have to be aware of and take a stand in. Now, I'm not saying don't go to movies and don't watch TV. That's between you and the Lord, you know.
That's right.
And everyone's different.
That's right.
Like, you know,
yeah.
like I, for example, I like watching some crime shows. By the way, some.
Yeah.
Okay, some of them are, I can't watch because they violate my conscience.
Mm-hmm,
but
exactly.
But I like watching them because for the most part, they will show you the crime or whatever, and then justice comes, right?
Wins
and
out,
I love
right.
it. It's
yeah.
just like at the end of it, I feel excited. Justice won out. You know, this is really good. More, Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then there's others that leave you feeling defiled.
Yes.
And I think that that's what we need discernment on.
I agree.
And another thing, Robert, is the way sometimes Christians will watch a movie and then say, this represents God, when it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to be a little bit careful with
mm-hmm.
that. And taking some way out corrupt movie and say, yeah, 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 but the Lord brought this forward as a prophetic message,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
Now, you can extract anything good out of anything. If you're
yes,
looking for good, you
that's
can extract
right.
it.
That's right.
But I think
Jesus
you have to be careful by saying, this movie is representing God's heart.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we have to be careful
yeah.
about that. But I'd like to know from our viewers, I'd like to know from you, what are your thoughts on this? Because there's a lot to unpack. And, you know, in the light of how God is leading us in this day, can you keep a strong walk with the Lord, rightly divide in your own heart as you're watching movie, TV, what is good, what is not good? Can you do that and keep a strong bar, an elevated bar for
yes.
righteousness
yes.
and moral conduct? Or is the atmosphere of what's going on with entertainment media really lowering it to a point where all of society, including the church, is just bought in to corruption?
Mm.
We, you know, this is what we have to look at right now. So we would love to have your input on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, as we're wrapping up right now, I just want to let you know about a wonderful, exciting tour that we're doing this year in October. And it's our trip to Israel, Women on the Frontline Tour. Oh, my gosh. But until May, on Mother's Day, we are offering a draw where if you buy a ticket to the draw, your name could be chosen for a free trip to Israel, including your airfare. And so we're really excited about that. We're going to draw it on Mother's Day. We're going to go to Israel and go to all the exciting places where Jesus, you know, met with women, where women were empowered by God, used by God, and where Jesus walked in his life. And, you know, oh, it's going to be so great. And we've got Katie Sousa and Joan Hunter and Carol Cook that are also going to be with me on that. We're going to pray at every station and prophesy and do all those things. And many of you that are watching have never been to Israel before. If you haven't been, come with us. God wants you to put your feet on his holy land, on his consecrated land. And we're going to go and we're going to pray and we're going to intercede. It's going to be awesome. So sign up for the tour. And by the way, if you sign up for the tour and then you win the draw, and then you win the draw. Hello, Ellie. That was just Ellie going by the camera there, but hello, Ellie. Okay. If you sign up for the tour and then you win the draw, we'll just refund your money to you and then you'll get the trip for free. Or you can even give it to a friend. If you can't go, you can give it to a family member or a friend and it'll be your gift to do with what you want. And so that's coming up and we're really excited about it. And we, again, you know, just as we're wrapping up, we're going to pray for you in a moment, and we're going to release an impartation of the wisdom of God and the discernment of God and the plumb line of God. But before we do, we just want to invite you once again to contribute, you know, to give to the Lord and to his work, and especially for media. We talked about, you know, television and movies and that, and the corruption that's out there. Well, this ministry is not corrupt. We are following the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and strength. And we take flack for it too, you know, for raising the bar. But we're going to continue to raise the bar, and we're going to continue to send the word out to the nations through media. But we need your help. And you might even be interested in becoming a partner with this ministry, which we would so love that. We do this to serve you. We do this to bless you. There's no fee on this webinar tonight. We've been planning this for a long time and doing our studying and our praying into it and that, because we believe this message is critical. If we're going to be a prophetic voice in this day and hour to this generation, then we need to stand strong. We need to proclaim the voice of the Lord, not our own voice, the voice of the Lord in this hour. Would you help us continue to be a prophetic voice?
Amen. And we want to invite you to be a part of all that we're doing, including reaching those Arab nations. You can be a part of what's on God's heart right now, Global Harvest. So please partner with us in Global Harvest.
Now, we're going to play Stacey Campbell's clip in a few moments, just after we pray for everyone. That's how we'll close this time with you. But as you watch her clip, as we finalize the program, I just love it, because even though she's talking about a sexual issue, it actually speaks to every issue we've mentioned tonight. And she positions your heart to do what Jesus would do. And it's, you know, an amazing word from an amazing prophetess. I love her. And by the way, we're going to be doing, her and I are going to be doing a mentoring session for 2 whole days, you know, morning, afternoon, and evening, with a small group of people. We're going to do this mentoring session. It's in August, and you can go to womenonthefrontlines.com and find out more information about it. In August, Stacey and I are going to do this mentoring, 2 days, speaking on the prophetic and the apostolic, and nurturing and having encounters with those who come. So it's just going to be a very small group of people, so you'll want to register quickly if you want to be part of that mentoring time. And also, we will be having it on webcast as well, so you'll be able to sign up to register for that webcast for the 2 days too. But if you want to be on site, the registration includes your meals with us. We're going to do lunch with you and dinner with you, and we're going to have a wonderful time together, just embracing you and empowering you to be all that you can be in the Lord. So we're going to finish up with that clip. But before we do, we want to pray for you. We want to pray a prophetic impartation, because this is about being raised up as a voice for him. That's what prophets do. They speak his heart. They speak his word. They become his voice in the earth. That's what God is looking for. Moses said, oh, that all God's people would be prophets. That's my heart. Mm-hmm. Oh, that you would all be his prophetic voice. So, Robert, let's just pray right now for everyone that's viewing, and all of you in our studio audience right now. Just get ready to receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that in this day, when there's so much confusion, there's so much disruption, there's so much chaos, there's so much turmoil, there's so much of the lowering of the bar, that you would raise up a people who are raising the bar. We release an impartation, Lord, of prophetic unction, of prophetic voice, Lord God, that your people will rise up and raise the bar so gloriously in love, and that everyone will want your ways. Everyone will want to do it your way. And so clothe your people. Clothe them, Lord God, now with your prophetic mantle, with your prophetic voice. Let them represent you well in this day, in this hour, before this people.
Yes, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that your word promises that your grace abounds towards us to make us sufficient for every good work. So, Lord, I declare over our studio audience, I declare over every single precious one watching us on the web, that the grace of God abounds towards you to make you sufficient every good work, including choosing righteousness in every situation you face. And I declare over you that the Holy Spirit's ability to bring you into all
all truth is greater than the enemy or the world's ability to deceive you. I speak to you that you walk in the love, light, and life of Jesus Christ, and you will effectively and relentlessly, in love, wield his truth everywhere you go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, we want to thank you very much for joining us tonight for this web event. We host them every single month, and we're going to keep these coming for you because we want to prophesy into the nations. And so thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. And now we're going to treat you to a word from Stacy Campbell.
A lot of controversy in our era, the hour in which we live. But I kind of think that the eyes of God look at everything differently. God doesn't categorize, well, you're a homosexual, well, you're an adulterer, well, you're a pedophile, well, you're, you know, because the way God thinks, God is absolutely not willing for any to perish. God loves people. God takes them exactly how they are. That's just the model of Jesus' life. And you know, when everybody else is coming around to stone that woman caught in the very act of adultery, the thing is that he does, he says, hey, which one of you has no sin? And the way Jesus views sin, like he's so holy, he's so perfect, he's so beautiful. You know, when he describes sin, he says, well, it's not just the person that's committed it. It's the one that looks at a person with lust. You know, that person's committed adultery. That's really the true standard. And of course, we all fall short of that. None of us would make it, none of us. And so no matter what a person's struggling with, maybe it's gossip, maybe it's homosexuality, maybe it's, you know, adultery, maybe it's whatever it is, when a person comes with a struggle and they are sincerely looking, because oftentimes it's within the heart that a person knows, look, I have a problem here. I want help. I'm confused. I don't know what's right, what's wrong. I've been told this. Somebody tells me this. But inside my own heart, I need some help. And most of the people I know are like that. And so I just say, Jesus is there, and he loves you. And he wants to help you with whatever you want help with. And he is there to heal you from the very core of your being, because he created you. He made you in his image. He has a purpose for you. And so I really just tried to lead them directly to Jesus, who is kind, who is redeeming, who is full of grace and mercy. And when a person comes to me asking a question about this, a lot of times they come with a cultural perspective or cultural baggage. I just try to lead them to the person and say, you know, your answer will be found in him. And the deeper the relationship you build with him, the more you will find out you are loved, the more you will find out you have a purpose and you have a destiny. And he's not worried about your pornography or your adultery or that. He's worried about you, and he wants to help you. And usually there's roots behind the behavior, and he's there to heal you from the very root. And Jesus says that the one he makes clean is clean indeed, and he's able to forgive us from absolutely everything. So I just try to lead them to the person of Jesus, who's altogether lovely.
You know, you might be watching tonight, and maybe you do not know Jesus yet, the lover of your soul. And I just want to invite you to consider him. He knows about your struggles. He knows about the things that you've been through. And he just loves you. He loves you more than you could ever know. And so he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. You're maybe even wondering, why did I ever watch this thing? I'm just disturbed now. Well, that disturbance can bring you into the arms of your Redeemer's love. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, just come into my heart and be my God, be my Savior, be my Redeemer. come into my heart and make me the person you want me to be. Come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins, past, present, future. And you know what? He will. You can remember this. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And if you pray that prayer by just asking Jesus to come into your heart, it's just simple. You just say it from your own words, from your own heart. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. He will come in. He will. Let us know. Write info@xpministries.com. Thank you. What happened there?